10 o'clock. Is everybody in agreement that it's 10 o'clock? If we can, all right. Well, at least we have a consensus on the time. So I'll call the Revenue Estimating Conference for November to order. And what is your pleasure on the minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes.
The minutes have been, motion's been made by Holly, seconded.
Second.
By Mr. Underwood. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Okay, I think everybody in the room has been to a revenue estimating conference before, maybe with the exception of one, so we won't go through all the gory details, but just a reminder that we're required to meet at least three times a year. Three members are represented on the conference by legislative service agency, the executive branch, and a mutually agreed upon individual who is not in either one of those branches, and that's Mr. Underwood from Mason City, or not Mason City, I'm sorry. Clear Lake, I'm sorry. Up there, that's a bit, there's important. The legislature is, the governor's required to submit a budget to the legislature using the December estimate. So the number that we arrive at today will be used by the governor in preparing his budget. Now, the legislature must follow either the December estimate or the March estimate, whichever is the lower of the two. So whatever number we agree on today, that number cannot be raised. Now, the governor plans on submitting a two-year budget, but the law requires that the revenue estimating be done on a one-year basis, so that's why we are doing that. We are going to be looking at the current fiscal year, which is fiscal year 13, and then the next fiscal year, which is fiscal year 14. So I think what we will do is, if it's okay with the other committee members, is that we'll get your general comments, and then we'll go into the numbers. So I want to start with Ms. Lyons.
Sure. Thank you. I'd just like to make some comments first about the U.S. economy before I talk about the LSA's estimate. The only thing that's certain since we met 2 months ago is that there's still a great deal of uncertainty over the national fiscal future and the fiscal cliff. And that uncertainty is like a big old wet blanket on the U.S. economy. The national economy is sluggish at best. Some economists have referred to it as weak or struggling. Businesses have pulled back on investments due to the federal uncertainty. Recent statistics have shown that exports are down, indicating slowing global demand, and imports are at the lowest level in 1.5 years. Consumer sales are also showing signs of slowing down. The U.S. is producing new jobs, but the rate is very low for an economic expansion. Growth in the wage rate is very low. Those two things combined are producing a very anemic growth rate for U.S. wage income, and the less income earned, the less income that can be spent. The financial and political condition of the U.S. government does not leave it in a position to act to boost disposable income. If the low national growth situation continues, it's bound to catch up with Iowa in the near future. Iowa traditionally lags behind the national economy, and right now, Iowa is in a period of steady growth. We're outpacing the U.S. economy. Iowa's economy is currently producing new jobs and new income at a fairly normal expansion rate. The LSA estimate calls for a 3.5% growth in the current fiscal year and slightly lower growth than that at 3.2% in fiscal year 2014. The estimate hasn't changed much from the LSA's October estimate. We're up slightly in fiscal year 2013 and down slightly in 14 compared to October. When compared to the rate of net revenue growth since last June 30th, however, these numbers do seem a little low. However, the main drivers of general fund revenue, namely income withholding tax and sales and use tax, have increased 5% or less so far this year. What that means is that the source of revenue growth to date this fiscal year has been in items other than income tax and sales tax. Corporate tax revenue is up around 25%, and tax revenues are down significantly. While both of these items are contributing to strong state revenue growth, it seems unlikely that they can contribute at this rate for the remainder of the fiscal year and into the next. The LSA expects the current 9% growth rate in revenues that we're experiencing right now to begin to decline before the end of this month, regardless of what happens at the fiscal cliff. So add that to the uncertainties in Washington and the included assumption in the estimates that federal taxes will go up, which will in turn reduce Iowa income taxes. The LSA sees a 3.5% expected growth rate as an accurate reflection of the current situation, tempered by the two issues I just mentioned. On the positive side, the car is approaching the fiscal cliff at the federal level, but at least none of the parties have jumped out yet. They're apparently still talking. Should Congress resolve the fiscal situation quickly and in a sustainable manner, the certainty that returns to the system may produce a robust recovery, and the Iowa economy is well positioned to participate in that. The housing market is improving dramatically, and another positive is energy prices. Petroleum prices are down, and natural gas prices are way down. Our energy expenditures are significant, and these price reductions will produce substantial expenditure savings for businesses and consumers, savings that hopefully can be redirected elsewhere. Bottom line, Iowa continues to be in a solid financial position with full rainy day funds. The LSA estimate is for modest growth for both fiscal year 13 and 14.
Thank you, Holly. David?
I always hate to follow Holly because she does such a great job of recapping where the national economy is. I'd just add a couple of things. Early this week, I got two new surveys that were released, and I think, you know, they reflect a lot of what Holly mentioned. And one is the Wells Fargo Small Business Survey that basically comes out and says that the biggest drop they found in small business owners' confidence since the fall of 2008. And of course, we know that small business is very important to Iowa. And this is a national survey. But basically, it's in order for us to grow fast, we need a lot of people to take big risks. That hasn't happened yet in this business cycle. And if the Wells Fargo Gallup poll is any indicator, it's not about to start. So I think it's very prudent that we take a slow growth approach. So, and I think that's quite well reflected in your numbers. The other survey is from the American Institute of CPAs, and this is a quarterly survey that they do, and basically their survey reflects economic optimism, which started the year on an upswing, has fallen to a 12-month low according to the latest survey. Economic optimism is one of several factors that make up this index, and it fell to the lowest point since the third quarter of 2011. And for the first time in the past 3 years, the decline in optimism for organizations and expansion plans exceeded the decline in optimism for the U.S. economy. So it appears that the U.S. may be heading for another year of slow, struggling growth that may be even less robust than the weak growth seen in 2012. So you take that and relate it to Iowa. On the way down, we're talking on the radio about the 2012 drought continuing into 2013, very likely is kind of what I was hearing. And then a quote of our president relative to the fiscal cliff and how that's going to turn out, he said, either way, taxes are going up. So that means that Iowa's general fund revenue is going to be impacted negatively. Just a final comment is uncertainty is definitely a problem, but how certainty is arrived at really matters to Iowa.
Thank you, David. David raised another interesting point. Not only do we need to be estimating the revenue, we're also needing to estimate the weather as well. And I think we'll probably be about as accurate on either one. From my perspective, that there were positive signs for a while in the U.S. economy. I think we were starting to get on a little more solid ground. I think that we had a modest job growth pace. Housing is starting to increase around the country. As Holly pointed out, the gas prices are still in fluctuation, but have been trending down. And so the consumer and business sentiment, I think, is still, to echo what both of them had said, is still pretty fragile. When we're looking at a federal sequestration, I think it has pretty much frozen our economy. I think that no one is willing to, as David pointed out from the Wells Fargo survey, that we need people to make some leaps here. I believe that financially they're capable of doing that, but I think the uncertainty is just so great that nobody wants to do that. From a personal perspective, I do not believe that Congress and the President are going to come to a what I would consider an acceptable solution. I think that this is going to be around us a while, and so I think we're about to go through an extreme makeover. But I just don't know what the end of that extreme makeover is going to be. Don't know whether it's going to be painful, very painful, or seriously painful, but it is going to have an impact on our country. And when you start talking about $700 billion of tax increases in spending cuts, to say that it's not going to have some impact on the economy, I think would be foolish to make that assumption. Now, looking at Iowa, we outperformed our estimate in fiscal year 12, and so far we are ahead in fiscal year 13, although we are starting to see that those numbers slow down. As Holly pointed out, that the corporate is still strong, but I think we need to be very cautious. We do know that because of the potential of the sequestration, the companies are moving up their dividend payouts. They are probably making some tax choices, not knowing what is going to happen next year. So I think that in this next few month period of time, I'm not sure it's going to be a real good judge to extend this out into the future. Iowa housing is improving a great deal. It's sure not back to the boom years when we had it, but we're getting pretty close to pre-recession. Both of them had mentioned the drought, and what the impact is going to be is anyone's guess. We came out of the last drought a little better than I think many of us had anticipated, which is good news. The question is, what's going to happen if we go into a planting season when we have such a low water tables? We already know that, at least in the Mississippi, the barge issue has become paramount, is whether or not barges are going to be able to run, which ships a lot of our products. So our challenge is just the weather in Congress. I would point out that the assumptions that have been made on both LSA's projections as well as the Department of Management for the Governor's Office has been that the alternative minimum tax would be corrected even if there isn't an agreement in Washington. That appears to be one thing that all parties agree to, the President as well as the Republicans and Democrats in Congress. The other assumption which we have made is that the Bush-era tax cuts would go away. There does not seem to be any evidence to us that would indicate that there's going to be a mutually agreed upon pathway for that, so that we have factored in our recommendations that those would go away. If those don't go away and if there is some agreement reached there, then that would at least be positive, at least on our revenues. Now, with that, if everybody would take out the easy to understand, easy to read spreadsheet here, we've determined that once we get to the point where the three of us up here can't read this chart without magnifying glasses, then we'll be here at least till that period of time. Okay, now for those of you who are not familiar with this sheet, probably the best line to ask you to go down to is pretty close to the bottom, the one that is highlighted that says net receipts plus transfers. Now, let's walk through this sheet just real briefly so that people understand. Let's start with the fiscal year 12 actual, okay? That was the $6,311 billion. All right, when we met in October, so if you go over to the first column after the box, where you go to the 6.482.5, that is the number which the three of us agreed upon. So what that means is that we added for fiscal year 13 a $171.4 million. So we were saying in 13 that it was going to bring in an additional $171 million. Okay, if you'll then skip the percentage chain and then go to the next one where it says 6.7, again in October, that was the number which we arrived at, which was an additional $241.1 million. So that's kind of where we were at when we left here the last time. All right, go to not the percent, but the next column that says LSA fiscal year 13 estimate for 12 December 12. You'll see that LSA's recommendation is for the 6.529, which would be an increase of 46.7. Then you can see the percent. Then you go to, let's stay with 13. Then go clear over to the last enclosed box where you'll see governor's appointee FY13 estimate is 6.505, which is an additional, from the governor's office, governor's representative perspective, is 22.6 million. So you can see that we have a difference there, which the LSA folks have put out on the comparison on the last column, which is a difference between the two of us of 24.1 million out of a $6.5 billion estimate. Okay? And then if you were looking at the next column, or the next fiscal year, FY14, if you'll go over again to kind of the middle column, LSA's recommendation is for an additional for 14, $15.4 million. And if you go over to the governor's representative, theirs is $16.2 million. So the governor Department of Management recommendation for 13 is $24 million below what the LSA number is. And for FY14, the governor's representative is $800,000 above where the LSA is. And I need to point out to you that we spend about $3 million a day on Medicaid alone. So when you're within $800,000, we're talking essence, no difference. So, okay, all right, any comments from either one of my colleagues here or a motion, discussion? What's your pleasure?
This has got to be one of the easiest jobs I've ever had. I don't remember when, you know, the total difference is $24 million over 2 years. And I know that they don't spend a lot of time necessarily always talking to each other as to where they're going to. They work pretty independently to come up with these numbers. So basically the only number that that I had a question really on was the school infrastructure refunds. We're just $10 million apart. So that one I was hoping to be real close to each other. But other than that, you know, looking at the assumptions that everybody's used, the differences are so minor. How about we split the difference?
I would like to follow up on what Mr. Underwood said, that the LSA representative and the governor's representative do not discuss what the numbers are going to be before we come in here, and I can't speak for Ms. Lyons. I can speak for myself. When I saw the numbers, I went through them a few times. I thought somebody made a mistake, that we were that close. And it's a matter of if we were to sit down and know that we were that close, we could have worked this out, I'm sure. But I think it's good that we don't do it that way. I think it's good that we have not just two sets of eyes, but the whole Legislative Service Agency and their folks and the Department of Management and their folks. We do debate these back and forth, and obviously we rely on a lot of input that we get from the Department of Revenue too, that provides us a lot of the base data. Just a matter of clarification. So Mr. Underwood has suggested that we split the difference. I'd call on Ms. Lyons to see what her thoughts are.
I can certainly support that. Is that a motion, David, or you want to? Is there a particular line item you want to take it out of?
Well, if we went to with $12 million, the only thing that I was just wondering about was that school infrastructure refund. So we could go to that line item, I guess, and or we can take it out of one of the other numbers. I mean, most of the rest of them are pretty close, other than personal income tax. We could just, let's see. I guess refunds would be a good spot maybe to adjust it out of. So if we would reduce the governor's appointee's estimate of refunds, take $12 million out of that number. So was that 870.5? And that would just about take care of it.
I will take that as a motion. Do we have a second?
So basically, we would take the governor's appointee column and then subtract the 12.5. Is that correct? Or add to it, I'm sorry. Yeah,
right,
add to
it. Right. Whichever way you want.
Yeah,
to
get the right direction.
Take 12 out there.
Right. Now take the refunds to 870.5.
I'm fine with that.
Will I take that as a second?
Yes, that's a second.
Okay, we've had a motion second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say no. The motion carries. Okay, Mr. Underwood, what is your pleasure for 14? Let's see, how does that add? Let's work off LSA's number. Okay, what I'm trying to figure out is after what we did on 13, okay, then that alters. No, that's my point. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Underwood, do you want to have any thoughts on that?
Well, that $800,000, I'm not going to quibble over, I guess, on a $6 billion revenue number. I would move we adopt LSA numbers for fiscal year 14.
LSA's representative, would you agree with accepting your number? Or?
Actually, I would. The only thing I would caution you on is that when we start jumping columns like that,
right.
I think it gets confusing for our guys over there that are adding them up.
Simply, the issue becomes that since they were done independently, if you take one column for 1 year and then another column for the second year, you can get some really strange changes, say, in individual income tax line. Even though you end up with the bottom line number that you're looking for, we then present numbers going forward that look like we expect a different change percentage-wise in individual lines. So if you
go with
DOM 1 year and DOM the second year, and then get a final number that you're happy with, it makes our demonstration of numbers more sensible.
Okay.
All right.
I will change my motion.
Okay. All right, why don't you just withdraw that motion?
I'll withdraw a previous motion and make a new one.
All right,
Governor's appointee numbers for fiscal year 14 of 6739.8.
Comments, Holly?
I can support that motion.
Okay, it's...
In a form of a second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. The motion has carried. All right, let's go on to the gaming revenues. I believe they were identical. I have a motion.
I move the gambling numbers for, can we do both years at the same time?
Yes.
Fiscal year 13 and 14.
Second.
Mr. Underwood? Okay.
Oh, and I'm sorry, and add the interest earned on the reserve funds.
Okay.
Well.
It's, make sure we're clear.
Right.
It's the gaming numbers and the interest.
Right.
All right. Is that okay to
yes.
you, Mr. Underwood? Okay. It has been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say no. The motion is carried. Any other business that we have before us here? Mr. Underwood, any other comments?
No, I just wish every meeting was this easy.
Yeah. I think it should, you know, point out that as, is there anything else? Okay, why don't you guys have your machine there?
Yeah, the fiscal year 13 new number is 6517.1 million, which is 3.3% over fiscal year 12, or an additional 206 from fiscal year 12. Did I get that right? Yeah. And then fiscal year 14 is 6739.8. Which is 3.4% more than the revised 13, or 222.7 million. Sorry.
Anybody else need anything calculated before we go too far? Okay. First of all, I want to say thank my colleagues for their good work, as well as the Legislative Service Agency staff, Department of Management, and the Department of Revenue for all the input and all the help that they give us as we go through. Seeing no further business, the Revenue Estimating Conference for December. Oh, one last thing before I finally adjourn. If in fact that something happens, does not happen, that will negatively impact what our revenues are going to be, the Revenue Estimating Conference always has the ability to reconvene to do whatever we need to do. However, the number that we use today cannot be raised. It can only be lowered. With that, we will stand adjourned.